I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come.
You tell someone to hit the road, or he heads out on his own. What are you going to do? Well, why not head into the kitchen? Maybe if you're lucky, he showed you how to make the world's best lasagna. Or maybe you have his mother's recipe for cream cheese brownies. This is the discovery Thisbe Nissen and Aaron Ergenbright made some time ago. Now they share it with us in the Ex-Boyfriend Cookbook. They came, they cooked, they left, but we ended up with some great recipes. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Aaron and Thisbe join us this afternoon to tell us about themselves, former beaus, and the recipes they've collected in the Ex-Boyfriend Cookbook. Thisbe, Aaron, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How are you?
Hello.
So what inspired you to put these recipes together in a book? What led you to do a book?
Sorry. We have traffic, we have things. Erin, you talk.
Okay. More than the recipes, we just wanted to tell the stories. And I think we were having a barbecue to kind of a housewarming barbecue. We'd moved into this farmhouse out in Iowa City where we'd met in graduate school. And I wanted to make an ex-boyfriend's spicy barbecue rub sauce. And it just kind of hit us at the same time that we wanted to do the Ex-Boyfriend Cookbook.
And it's as you mentioned, Aaron, it's kind of a scrapbook.
It is. There's very much a scrapbook.
There's stories about the guys, although as you say at the outset, all names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Oh yes.
But there's stories about you and the guys and what led to the recipes, and then there are also these wonderful collages. Maybe yes. Thisbe, you take that one.
Sure. Aaron and I are both sort of pack rats. We keep everything, and we were living together in this farmhouse, and when this idea, as we started talking about the idea for the cookbook, we also had both always made collages for presents and cards for people and stuff, and we started pulling out our boxes of old tear-stained letters and ticket stubs and photographs and then we started supplementing all the stuff that we already had with going to auctions and thrift stores and places like that and buying other people's old scrapbooks and getting things from friends and buying people's old recipe files and stuff. So it's packed full of our histories and other people's histories.
It's kind of a gestalt kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in the collages, is it fair to say that when we see a collage next to the story, next to the recipe, the collage reflects some aspect of the relationship?
In many cases, yes. In some cases, the collages came first, and then we wrote the stories. And in some cases, there was just sort of an intuitive pairing
uh-huh.
with them.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to speak to that, Thisbe?
When we first started out doing it, we were just, it was actually the collages were the last thing that came. We started out with just recipes and stories and then kind of got the idea of the collages. And it was after that we would start, somehow we were finding it really difficult to write the stories and then attempt to make these collages to fit with the stories and that we could let our imaginations go a lot more if we started with collages and then were able to, you know, let our sort of artistic vision go and then sort of say, okay, what do I have here, you know,
right.
Create the story from there.
Okay,
but a lot of the stories were created also when we started talking about this project and we started talking about the artifacts of relationships and these things that we found in these boxes in our closets. That little piece of memory was what informed the whole story.
Yeah, well,
very much so.
I want to describe for the audience, for our listeners, the collage that goes along with Rob Becker's Mom's Cream Cheese Brownies. This is a kind of a prom story of sorts, I guess you would say.
Yes.
Is that a prom picture?
Yes, that's me. That's me in the stretch silver sequins dress.
Well, you look very nice.
Oh, thank you.
And he's wearing kind of the collage features the date in kind of a silvery scaly thing as well.
I sort of turned him into a little bit of a merman.
A merman, yes. And I suppose at this point in a young woman's life, there are plenty of fish in the sea. And poor Rob Becker's mom, he wanted you to be Mrs. Rob Becker.
Yes.
And so anyway, there's this wonderful blue and green watery background, and then there's you in your silvery prom dress with a chef's hat, and he's in the merman getup with a tuxedo, and where his head was is kind of a nest with a fish lying there.
Yes.
You must have had a great time putting these collages together.
We did.
A wonderful time.
I live in Portland, and Sisby still lives in Iowa City, mm-hmm. where we met and we're in graduate school. So once we were deep into this project, we would work on it separately and then go to visit each other and spend 4 or 5 days collaging, just all day, every day.
Hunched over on the floor, you know, magazines and boxes of scraps and whatnot piled around us, and, you know, rubber cement all over everything.
So have you heard it all from the ex-boyfriends?
The ones who have responded are quite happy, you know, in whatever capacity they're in the book, they're mm-hmm. they're happy. The ones who haven't responded are either furious and plotting something terrible.
Our demise.
Or they truly don't recognize. I mean, it's so fictionalized in a lot of ways that hopefully no one will be able to say, that's me.
Yeah. Hopefully we've covered our butts enough.
Yes, exactly.
And covered their faces enough mm-hmm. that no one's going to be too angry at us. It seems like the people who have recognized pieces of themselves in here have been very pleased, or they've even been people we're in touch with who actually gave us recipes
right.
or photographs or something. So.
And it's not at all a mean-spirited book, so, you know, while there's some very quirky characters, we weren't out for revenge in any way.
Yeah, yeah. Before the boyfriends, were you into cooking? Or is this something that boyfriends actually kind of provided the two of you an interest in cooking?
I've been encouraged to cook by boyfriends. I'm not the greatest cook, and I think that I learned a lot from people I dated about cooking.
Hmm. Do you find men who can cook more attractive than men who can't cook?
Hey, sure.
Definitely.
Don't you?
It doesn't hurt, does it?
Uh-oh.
No.
No. The way to a woman's heart is through the
mm-hmm.
kitchen.
Absolutely.
Times are changing, right?
Exactly. And now, since the book has been out, has this improved your social lives, or has it complicated things?
It's only been out a week, so.
Oh, okay.
So and we've been on the road eating really disgusting fast food.
Right.
We'd be thrilled if any men would like to have us over for dinner.
And how do they get in touch with you?
Yes. They come to the readings
that
we're doing. We're going to be at a Barber's Books.
In Chicago?
In
tonight.
Chicago tonight.
Okay.
On Lake Street, is that?
Lake Street?
I believe so. There are a few Barber's Books, so I think we're at the one on Lake. And so if anyone wants to come bearing snacks, we'll be thrilled to take recipes.
mm-hmm.
So for each of you, what's the most memorable boyfriend recipe?
I think mine is Conway's chili relleno casserole,
which is in the book on page 102-103.
Right, and it's sort of this aspiring musician, ornithologist, guy I knew who lived in a filthy warehouse with all these people, but it was very sort of romantic, bohemian, you know, and the place was always filthy, but there was always a lot of art and fascinating conversation going on, and one day he cleaned up the kitchen for me and made this very simple but really great recipe.
It's kind of like it's a casserole, but it's kind of also like a souffle, isn't it?
Well, it's not. It's pretty. It's only a couple of inches tall, and so you bake it. It's more like it's perfect for breakfast, really.
Mm,
you cut it into little squares, and it's like.
It's got cheese and chilies and
cheese
eggs and sour cream.
Is it like a frittata at all?
No. Well, it's like a frittata without the potatoes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just wonderful. And it's so, I mean, it's so easy. That's the great thing about it.
And?
I would say I'm extraordinarily fond of Lucas Almirati's Gazpacho, which is pages 66, 67. I spent a few seasons working on wonderful organic vegetable farm in Northern Virginia. And where one of our main crops was were tomatoes, and we had one summer I was there, we had 29 varieties of tomatoes, and as the farm workers, we got to eat as much produce. We didn't get paid extraordinarily well, but we could eat as much produce as we wanted, and we perfected many farm produce recipes, and one of these was a gazpacho recipe that. I think is the only way to make gazpacho, but I'm a little bit of a snob.
So you need the best tomatoes and the best produce from the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, how are the cats?
Oh, they're fine. We miss them, though.
We hopefully will get to see them tonight or tomorrow, at least mine. But we're on our way to Iowa City, so we'll get to see Fernanda and Maisie very soon.
You were noticing the cat motif.
Yes.
And I also want to comment on the biographical sketch that's included on the book jacket.
We lived in this farmhouse outside Iowa City, and that barn, this octagonal barn from 1883 that's in the background of that picture, that was on the property.
Oh,
so
terrific.
We just had to put it in there.
Well, at the end of this little sketch, it says, both Aaron and Thisbe hope one day they will meet men they love as much as their cats, but they're not holding their breath.
Yes.
And, you know, it's probably a good thing for the human race that cats can't cook.
Okay.
Oh, but mine do.
No wonder you miss them so much.
Right.
Well, have a great time in Chicago.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks. It was fun talking with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Aaron Ergenbright and Thisbe Nessen, authors of The Ex-Boyfriend Cookbook. They came, they cooked, they left, but we ended up with some great recipes. The book is published by HarperCollins.